The gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. This is the gospel that we have been learning from ever since the first week in Advent. We have been following Matthew this year. Now we are in the 11th chapter. John the Baptist is in jail, and he is wondering about the future of his movement, and he has sent a couple of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one we have been waiting for, or is there another?" And Jesus says, "Look and see." And he points out all of the ways in which his ministry has touched the weakest and the most vulnerable among them. And then Jesus gives a parable, which is where our reading begins in verse 16. But I am going to go on and also add verses 28 through 30. Jesus is speaking. "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Here ends the reading of the gospel. These words speak the power of life, and they may be trusted. Amen. And will you pray with me? God, in these words that I share, if there is a word that you would have us hear, help us to hear that word and to let go of all the rest. Amen. Be the church is our overall theme for the summer. And then each of the other Sundays, we are concentrating on a sub-theme of Be the Church. And today, we're skipping all the way to the end, to the phrase, "Enjoy this life." So my question here at the outset of the sermon is, which life shall we enjoy? Is enjoy this life just another way of saying eat, drink, and be merry? Enjoy what you can while you can? Or is there something deeper under this phrase, enjoy this life? And what might the gospel story today have to tell us in answering this question, which life shall we enjoy? I have been reflecting lately on the fact that we are coming up on a year of my arrival. We, you, the Community Church of Sebastopol, and I, your pastor of not yet 1 year, came together. I had this vision, though. We were, in a sense, these two streams coming together. I think you were the wider stream. I was but the tributary. And while there was much rejoicing in our coming together, we were also the coming together of two griefs, two sorrows. You had just said goodbye to your pastor of 38 years. which is no small goodbye. That is a huge point of transition for a congregation. Most congregations don't have a pastor for 10 years, let alone 38 years. His tenure here suggested a whole way of being and doing, a whole way of life in ministry in this community. And that is a lot to say goodbye to and a lot to let go of. I had been coming from a church where I had spent 17 years, first as the associate minister for children, youth, and families, and then as the lead minister, uprooting my entire family to move from Colorado Springs here to Sebastopol. Two rivers coming together. And shortly after we came together, we suddenly had shared grief, for there were beloved among us whom, even in my short time here, I had grown to cherish that we had to say goodbye to let go of, to express appreciation for. And then election day happened, which I won't suggest it affected all of us equally, but it affected all of us. It was beyond being a Democrat or a Republican. It marked a change in our society. And even those who were on the winning side, I think, have had an inkling that this is maybe not what I was signing up for. That our public discussion has grown even uglier. That we have lost the ability to talk to each other if we ever even had it before that. I have spoken to some members of this congregation who were going on trips to go visit family over summer, and they have worried about what they're going to talk about when they get together at the summer picnic in the backyard. So our two little tributaries of grief are part of a large river of wonderment and sorrow. Where is this all going? Well, I can tell you a bit of good news in my own vocation as pastor. I feel like a bit of fog is beginning to clear. It's taken a year, but I'm starting to finally sense again the fire of ministry that I knew was there and yet has been kind of protected, as it were. In a session with my spiritual director, I imagined it this way, a large mason jar with a tiny votive in it, and the votive candle saying, "Give me some oxygen to breathe," and yet I've been protecting it. And as my spiritual director and I worked through this image, this came to me, that it's not so much shattering the mason jar, but giving that flame some oxygen so that the mason jar can just melt and give it fuel. I'm coming out of a fog is what I'm trying to tell you. A fog of some grief and of some bewilderment. The fog of having to let go of a sense of I like the way things are and now they're different and I don't know what to make of myself or my church or the world that I live in. Where are we going? And the fog is what I'm trying to tell you has started to clear. Oh, the grief is still there. I think in some sense it will always be there. And those of you who have grieved, you know what I mean. But we need to hope again. And now, 6 months into this new administration, I feel like I'm starting to find my fire again, and maybe to find my voice again. Maybe to start discerning where this is all going. Jesus was speaking to those who knew that John the Baptist was now in prison. His movement, John the Baptist's movement, was on the brink of falling apart. And Jesus looked around and he said, you know, how would I describe this situation? How would I describe this society? How would I describe this generation? Jesus came up with this parable. He imagined a marketplace. You could think of the farmer's market right here in downtown Sebastopol. It's a marketplace, and there's a group of children on this side, and there's another group of children on this side, and they've all got their flutes. And they're used to playing back and forth to one another, depending on which way the mood was going. But now they're bickering from one side to the other. We're playing happy music, and no one's dancing to it. And the other side is playing, saying, well, we're trying to play mournful music and make you cry, but no one is crying. Have you fallen into this trap lately? Over-consuming the news? Okay. I could have just used one witness, but I think I got about 25, maybe more. Confession. I've done it. I have thought that if I just heard the right story or the right twist or the right justification of what I already believed, then somehow I would be okay. But there's always another story that tells you it's even worse than you thought it was. That the corruption goes deeper than you thought it did. That the bickering is even more bitter than you thought it was. And so then you go and search for another story to justify some other belief, to baptize some other cherished ideology that you had, and it just keeps going. It's like a hamster wheel. And you never, ever get there. It's like children bickering across the marketplace. This is the way things are, and no one's paying attention. Oh, yeah, well, this is the way things are, and no one's paying attention to me. And we think it's about who wins and who loses. And we think it's about who is on the right and who is on the left, who is the Republican, who is the Democrat, who is with the man and who is against the man. And as long as we're on the right side, we can be justified in our own beliefs, and we've forgotten that we all belong to each other. And so there's this huge rift. I'm looking at it in a sense right here. I'm not saying it's happening in the sanctuary right now, but I'm saying it's like one side calling to the other, and they're just talking past each other. Do you know what I'm talking about? Talking past each other in sound bites. And it's mean. And it's using words as a violent sword. And so many of us have decided we're going to just jump in on one side or the other, and somehow it'll turn out okay. But we all belong to each other. And so it can't be about one side winning and the other side losing. There's got to be another way. And so I return to the question, which life shall we enjoy? Is it the life of being right because you picked the right side? I read somebody this week that said fear can have at least two effects. It either gets you to lash out in violence, that's the fight instinct, or to withdraw in pain, that's the flight instinct. I have been withdrawing in pain because of my own grief about my own change in my life and my own grief about the shifts and the changes in our wider culture. But there's got to be another way. There's got to be something here in the middle that brings us together. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I think when Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, I don't think he's talking about working too hard. I don't think he's talking about being stressed out about your schedule. I don't think he's talking about overexertion from exercise. I don't think he's talking about not having gotten enough sleep. I think the weariness that Jesus is referring to is the weariness that comes when your life does not match up with your deepest values. Oh. So tiring. And when he says, come to me, all of you who are carrying a heavy burden, I think what he's talking about is when we've forgotten who we are and we've started trusting the voices on either side of the aisle and said, well, it's got to be one of these. These are our options. And we've forgotten who we are. It's forgetting that first and foremost, you are, we are, we all are beloved children of God, and we belong together. But we forget it every day. And we would rather trust the voices in our news and in our politics, even in our own homes or in our own heads, rather than the reminder. And baptism is, in the Christian church, the consummate reminder of this, that we are baptized by God's grace and made beloved children of God, and that we all belong to each other, not just the baptized, but the entire creation that God is just completely and totally smitten with, which is why it breaks God's heart when we call to one another across the marketplace and just bicker instead of finding a way to come together. In this place of brokenness, someone like John comes to us and says, repent, look at what you're doing, grow a conscience, and we dismiss him and say, ah, he's a demon. Somebody like Jesus comes and he pushes the edges of appropriateness. He goes to the margins and he hangs out with the people who've already been forgotten, the nameless few, and we call him a drunkard. Oh, he hangs out with those people. Come to me, all of you who are weary, who are tired of not living in the way that aligns with your deepest values. Come to me, all of you who are burdened, those of you who've forgotten your true vocation to be children of the living and loving God. This is how I imagine it. Imagine the marketplace, the group of children on this side, the other group of children on this side. Imagine you're in one of those groups. Because most of the time you are. You're on one side or the other. You align this way or that way. And now somebody comes walking right down the middle and says, come to me. Leave this burden of your brokenness and your hate and your bigotry and your homophobia and your racism and your sense of entitlement and privilege. Leave the burden of all that. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Rest. Not that there's no more work left to do, but there's a moment where you can breathe, where you can give some oxygen to your fire, where you can burn down whatever it is that is containing that fire, where you can find new light and new energy for your vocation. That is what we're called to do and to be in the world. That is the life that we are called to enjoy. Enjoy this life means the life that is free of the burdens of falsehood and of hate and of fear, which is not who you are. And it's not who I am. It's also not who they are. You know who I'm talking about? The ones on the other side of the market yelling back at you? It's not who they are. And so we've got to find a way to come together in some neutral space, to get some new oxygen in our lungs, to feed the fire and the flame inside so that we can be about the work of justice that is beyond left and right, that is beyond Republican and Democrat, that is beyond this ideology or that ideology, which finds a new space that acknowledges that we are all in this together. The fog is starting to clear. I have not done this on my own. I've done it because of the love of my family, and I've done it because of the love of this church. You have held me, and I have held you in this time of grieving. But there is a time when we need to leave our grieving behind. Not to ignore it. It'll always be there, speaking to us, informing our experience together. But so that we can now move forward together into a new space where we can find rest, rest that gives us energy for the work ahead. Amen.